Hey everyone, this is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I am making here a second video in a series that I'm doing on the King James Bible in America. For those of you that weren't aware of it, in September 2019, I wrote a book called The King James Bible in America. It was published by Dispensational Publishing House, and the book has recently generated some conversation and discussion amongst people who rightly divide the word of truth within the grace movement, who recognize the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Let me say again, like I did in my last video, whenever you write a book, you understand that you're taking upon yourself the reality that somebody might not like it, might not agree with it, and might criticize it. I have no problem with people criticizing it. What I have a problem with is people doing it in a sort of unfair manner, okay? Now, recently, on Thursday, September 24, 2020, Brother Rodney did a video called A Tale of Two Different Schools, where he made some comments and he gave his thoughts on my book and some of the things that were said in the book. And then he followed that up on Sunday, September 27, with another video where he covered two more of the pairs of words. He covered establish and establish and thoroughly and throughly in that video from Sunday, not necessarily directly mentioning me. In fact, he said in that video that it wasn't about me, but it was about the words. There's a comment or two in there that I'll show you later in this video that I do sort of take exception with. But my first video in this series was related to answering Rodney's question from the end of the video from Thursday, September 24, about why I wrote the book. The reason I wrote the book is because of the history of the printed text of the King James Bible in the United States. It is objective. It's factual. There are issues. The King James Bible has never been printed with exact identicality in the United States from its inception in the late 18th century, within 15 years of the founding of the United States after the American Revolution. I covered that in my first video, so I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that now. What I want to talk about in this video is a tactic of argument that Rodney used in his videos that I think is wrong. And let me just say, Rodney says a lot of things that are positive about me. He says that he loves me as a brother, etc. And let me just be clear about it. I love Rodney, too, as a brother in Christ. Okay? I do. I have solidarity with Rodney in the King James Bible, in the distinctive message ministry of the Apostle Paul, in the issue of rightly dividing the word of truth, in the gospel, the grace of God. Many, many things I'm in agreement with Rodney on. However, the tactic that he used to bring up his issues with my book, I do have an issue with it. And so that's what this is about. What we're going to see here is Rodney using a method of rhetoric called a false dichotomy. And what he's doing is he's establishing an either or a black and white dilemma as a way of trying to, you know, pigeonhole me into a certain thought process. And I do feel that it was unfairly done. Okay. And so we're going to watch this. I'm going to talk about it. And again, I love Rodney. I just take a little bit of exception with the tactic that he used here. Okay. So let's watch this yourself. We're going to cut in here to the first video. So I'm going to play it, and then we will probably pause it and discuss it. Here we go.
Listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. All comments are out of order. And what I mean is that you need to be listening tonight. I don't want to see any derogatory comments about anyone, about any of the people that are involved in any way, shape, or form. So I think it would be wise for you right now to just push your keyboards away from yourselves, go get a cup of coffee, have a seat, sit down, relax, okay? Because this is about the King James Bible tonight, okay? So I hope you're hearing me clearly on this, because I know Brian personally, okay? And the reason that I called him last night was to assure him that as his brother, I wanted it to stay that way. You know, chances are we'll be preaching at the same conferences.
Let me just say that Rodney did call me. We did have a conversation the night before he taught this, and I do appreciate the motivation behind that. I also consider Rodney a brother, and my motivation is similar. It is not Rodney that I'm having an issue with here in this video. It is the argumentation that is used in the presentation.
Is in the future. So I wanted us and everybody involved to maintain their integrity. So Brian has put his cards on the table. I mean, he wrote a book, okay? And last week, he made a video. And I told him that I think that it's
The video that Rodney is referring to is this video right here that I made, Thoughts on Recent Discussions about the Words and Sample and Example. You can find this on the Grace Life Bible Church YouTube page, but this is the video that Rodney just mentioned.
Proper for everyone listening to these conversations, excuse me, to see both sides of the issue. So I want to put my cards on the table also. You know, until people have looked at both sides of an issue, they're not qualified to make any decisions. I mean, many people who read Brian's book and those of you who listened to the video last week, you know, you agreed with Brian. And my question to you would be, what are you basing your decision on? It's always been my conviction that a person must accumulate evidence concerning both sides of an issue before they can make an intelligent decision.
And again, I would just interject here that I would agree with that. I think that honest dialogue amongst different folks on different sides of an issue requires that people have both sides of any given issue. So I'm not in disagreement with Rodney about that either.
Pretty sure any normal thinking person would agree with me on that, right? I mean, you've got to know both sides before you can say, okay, I agree with this or I don't agree with that. So that's what I'm doing tonight, okay? Again, I'm laying my cards on the table. Brian laid his already. And then, you know, it's pretty much that's the end of that story. How many of you have heard A Tale of Two Cities? That's Dickens, right? Well, I'm titling this message tonight, A Tale of Two Schools. Okay? Brian is from what I would consider the new school of higher learning. And I am from the school of hard knocks.
So I want to stop it right there, and I want to point out what Rodney's doing here, okay? He is creating a dichotomy. He's saying, I'm from the school of higher learning, and he's from the school of hard knocks. And then what's going to happen from here on out is he's going to argue based upon this dichotomy that he's creating here, okay, between the school of higher learning that he's going to put me into and the school of hard knocks that he's putting himself into. Now, I will not deny the fact that I have gone to college. I have two bachelor's degrees and I have a graduate degree in military history. It's what I learned through those courses of study that I put to use to write this book, the skills and the training and stuff that I use. So I will not deny the fact that I do have some higher learning behind me, okay? So I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is what is going to happen after this when Rodney is going to lump me in with Dan Wallace and James White and insinuate that I agree with those men when it comes to the issue of the Bible, and specifically the King James Bible, just because I'm in the school of higher learning. So there's a dichotomy that he's creating here, and then he's going to set about through the rest of this to filter everything through this dichotomy.
Okay, in my neck of the woods, we call this the old school. So I'm from the old school. So I want to play a short video clip for you that it's on YouTube demonstrating old school thinking and new school thinking. So just
so this video that Rodney is going to play here from an interview from the Anchorberger show from the 1990s is going to have Sam Gipp in it, and it's going to have James White and Dan Wallace. So Rodney's playing this video, as you just heard him say, to illustrate the new school that he's put me into just a moment ago, and the old school. So the insinuation now is going to be that I'm with and in agreement with Dan Wallace and James White.
Watch this for a moment. It's only 3 minutes long.
Hey, let me ask you, let's take this a different tack then. Do you use an English dictionary?
Correct.
Do you encourage your congregation to use an English dictionary?
I'll note that.
Well, which...
Now, just to let you know what's going on, that guy right there with the glasses, well, the guy on the right, this guy right here, he represents me, I represent him, okay? The other guy who's questioning him represents the...
So this is Sam Gipp. Sam Gipp is the author of the Answer Book. Rodney's saying that he, as old school, is in agreement with Gipp and that Gipp represents him. The other guys are representative of the new school of higher learning that Rodney has identified me with.
The higher schools of learning.
Okay, let me ask you, let's take this a different second. Do you use an English dictionary?
Correct.
Do you encourage your congregation to use an English dictionary?
I'm not a pastor.
Well, would you encourage the layperson who reads the King James Bible to use an English dictionary?
As long as that dictionary did not correct King James Bible.
And what is the English dictionary you'd require?
They'd have to look at it. Because
you mean you're not mad about this
the
issue?
One that
all the English dictionaries are modern language dictionaries.
Now, one of the ones that a lot of people are using are Webster's 1828, Webster's 1828, 200 years after the King James Bible.
So what
it probably is a good dictionary compared to what's out there today, but.
So what do you use? How do you understand the words of the King James Bible?
Well, I read them.
Without a dictionary that helps you understand what it means.
Well, you mean tell me, do you think I should have a dictionary time to read the King James Bible?
Well, here's the problem that I faced. 300 of those words plus have changed the meaning in the last 400 years. And it seems to me that the King James only people use those words in whatever, yes, it's documented in the introduction of the RSV.
Well, that's a very broad representation.
It might be 30
that have changed where somebody needed an explanation.
It gives the words.
Okay, shambles is marketplace.
Okay.
All right. Now,
let me finish my point. All right. The point is that if these words have changed in time, and you don't know which dictionary to use to find out what they mean, then how do you know that you're telling us what it means in 1611 or in 1995?
Here's the thing. Shambles.
Now, I wish I could replay that for you. I can't because of the nature of this program that it's in. It's in PowerPoint. But he said, how do you know what dictionary to use now if a word was used in the King James 1611 instead of 19 whatever year he said? And the point of this whole thing about the dictionaries and everything is that when God used that word in the King James Bible, it may have changed meaning because of dictionaries and whatever happened in the interim, but regardless of what it means today, according to modern scholarship, okay, according to Dr. So-and-so, it still means the same thing in the King James Bible as when God put it in there.
Okay, I have two comments here. The first one is, what does Rodney mean when he says, when God put it in the King James Bible? Now, I know that Rodney does not believe in the doctrine of double inspiration, the idea that the King James translators were inspired in the same sense that Paul was, for example, when he wrote Romans. But yet he says the words mean the same thing as they did when God put them in the King James Bible. That phraseology, that way of saying things, certainly does imply that there is some sort of new divine thing happening when the translators sat down between 1604 and 1611 to do their work. The second thing I want to say is, yes, words change meaning over time. This is well known and understood. The whole point of the King James Bible in America was to find the oldest English dictionaries available and discern what the words meant as far back as they could, as far back as the meanings could be tracked, to establish the original intent, the original meaning of those words. When I say original, what I mean by original is when the translation was done in the early 17th century. I'll make an illustration. Today, people argue about the Constitution. Well, there's language in the Constitution that is not used anymore. And so you have two different ways of approaching the Constitution. One of them is a loose constructionist who gets in the Constitution and says, well, you know, this really didn't mean this, and we need to change this and this and this, and, you know, reinterpret it based upon modern society, versus a strict constructionist, which says, no, it says what it means, and it means what it says. And if we need to understand what some of these words meant in the late 18th century when the Constitution was written, then that's what we need to do, okay? So I'm not sure what he means by when God put that in the King James Bible, and we need to understand what the motivation behind the book is. The words mean what they meant. I'm trying to discern what did these words mean in the early 17th century when the translation was made. That's the point of the King James Bible in America book.
I'm going to say that again later, but I wanted to say it, and we'll just finish this little video. It's only 3 minutes long.
Again, shambles means marketplace. To say, what I use is 1 Samuel chapter 9, it's a lot of archaic words. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, you have Saul, the son of Kish. His father's lost some jackasses. Kish sends his son Saul to go find him. It says there in verse 9, he's going to go see the seer. He's going to go see Samuel, the seer. And it says in 1 Samuel 9:9, that which was before time called a prophet was now, or before time was called a seer is now called a prophet. Showing that the word seer had passed from popular usage and the word prophet had replaced it in popular usage at the time 1 Samuel 9 was written. But when you get down to verse 11, where the word seer appears, the Lord did not, when he had Samuel write it, he did not have him write prophet, he had him write seer. He left the word in the text. I would not update King James Bible.
What does the word prove the King James translators with?
Completely circular. And the danger thing is, when you say, well, I just understand the word, people can bring their own traditions to a text, and they read those words within light of their own traditions and say, well, that's just what the Bible says. You have no external way of verifying those things. That's a frightening thing.
Okay, so I want to comment on what James White said there. What James White said there is the danger there is anybody can bring their tradition to a text and then define the words in that text according to their tradition. Now, I wholly disagree with James White about the critical text and the Reconstructionist approach and all of that, but he does make a valid point on this one thing, okay? And that's the point I was trying to make when this whole discussion started, when Scott Ray made his videos, and he was talking about, you know, when he says here in his first video, I use my King James Bible, stayed with the context, and I derive my own definitions for the words. The point I was making in this video, thoughts on recent discussions about the words and sample and example, is this is my problem with this approach. Because I show in this video here that I have on my screen, I show that four different King James defenders using this approach, giving four wildly different definitions of the word and sample. So I don't agree with very much of what James White says, but on this point individually, he's making a point. That's why you need to find out and discern the original intent. What did these words mean when the King James was originally written? James White is right. That is the danger in that. You are now throwing the door open for anybody to come in and define a word their own way based upon their own view and their own tradition. That is a problem. That's been a problem that I have thought about regarding the way the King James, pro-King James position is articulated for a while. So let's move on and see what happens next.
It keeps going in circles.
That's the question you should have asked yourself a long time ago.
Oh, no. What dictionary are you going to use? Because if every dictionary is going to change, then the word will change.
This is exactly the point we're trying to raise. Translations need to change to make sure that we maintain the faith so that people can understand the Word of God.
So
before we listen to Rodney, let me just say, that comment by Dan Wallace, I absolutely reject. It's missing the whole point. Translations do not need to change. We need to understand what words meant when the King James Bible was made and the translators made the linguistic choices that they made. That is my point. I do not agree with Dan Wallace at all in what he just said.
Translations need to change is a justification for producing new Bibles, new versions. Translations need to change because the meaning of words change? That's the kind of reasoning in this video. And
if you have a 1611 translation, well, we don't even use those words the same anymore, you actually have a changing tradition. Yours is changing far more than ours is. We're trying to get back to the original with every generation.
Again, totally disagree with Dan Wallace. Could not disagree more, okay? Not true. We do not need a new translation. Their tradition is changing. Our tradition is based upon the preserved line that God has preserved through history, demonstrably so. And I absolutely do not agree with what Dan Wallace said there. But watch what Rodney does now. Okay, he is going to associate me, back to the false dichotomy, he is going to associate me with what Dan Wallace just said and the new school of higher learning.
So, you heard what this said. I hope you watched Brian's video, okay? The thing is, Brian wrote a book which comes from the school that says words change meaning over time, and we have to keep the translation fresh so people can know what God is saying.
See, notice what he did. I never said that. I never said that we need to keep the translation fresh to understand what God is saying. That is not, you will not read that in my book. I never said that. Okay? Dan Wallace just said that. I didn't say that. And I don't believe that. What I believe is we need to understand what the words meant at the time they were written, because some words have changed meaning over time. This is a fact. What we don't need to do, because words have changed meaning over time, is get rid of the King James Bible. I have never said that, and I do not agree or appreciate, really, frankly, what he just said there, because he's lumping me in to the dichotomy in a way that I don't fit.
You know, from my vantage point, and the vantage point of many grace preachers like myself, there are some issues with that approach. So tonight, I want to look at the approach that...
So I have issues with Dan Wallace and James White approach too. And that's not my approach, but that's the line of argumentation that Rodney is using here.
That he took, Brian took. And then we'll look at the approach I take concerning our King James Bible. I mean, the difference between us is that, you know, Brian went to one of these colleges, and I think he may even have a degree, or maybe even have a master's. I don't know. I forgot to ask him. But I know Brian's very educated, okay? I, on the other hand, I am not edumacated, okay? After I was saved and after I was married to my wife, we toyed with the idea of going away to Bible college. I looked at several colleges, and it didn't take long for me to figure out that if I went to one of those colleges, I would learn what their bias was, and I might not come out of there appreciating the King James Bible like I did.
So let me comment about this. Yes, I went to Grace Bible College, now Grace Christian University. And what Rodney either doesn't know possibly about my story is the following. So, yes, I went there. I learned the critical textual theory of the critical theory of textual criticism. In the morning, I went to class and I learned it. In the evening, I went into the library of that institution and popped in Pastor Richard Jordan's Grace School the Bible tapes and took manuscript evidence. So I literally was learning in the morning the critical theory backing modern versions, and I was learning in the evening about the preservation of the Word of God and the traditional text and the King James Bible, and I was literally learning those two approaches at the same time. Okay? And I absolutely reject the critical text modern version approach.
So my wife and I, we agreed that I would not go and that I would just stay with the King James Bible and preach the Word of God as it is to men as they are. And that has worked out for me for many years now. I've been preaching for like 36 years. So like I said, I mean, I posted Brian's video on my Facebook page so that every single person could take a look at it. And I asked people to watch it, take notes, be completely aware of what he says. And I did that to be fair, so that no one would think that I'm putting words in his mouth or vice versa. Okay? I mean, it's not a secret that Brian has made his position clear. I mean, look, this is the book, right? King James Bible in America, an orthographic historical and textual investigation. I'm just going to read you something from the very first page of the book in the introduction, okay? So he says here, believers beware of counterfeit King James Bibles. Is it a real King James version? So read the headlines of some pro-King James websites and publications, as these headlines suggest, some King James Bible believers have expressed concern that modern printers of the King James Bible, such as Zondervan, Thomas Nelson, and Holman Bible Publishers, are taking liberties with the text. For example, Bibles produced on these presses change words like "throughly" in 2 Timothy 3:17 to "thoroughly," or "alway" in Philippians 4:4 to "always," or "ensample" in Philippians 3:17 to "example," or "establish" in Romans 16:25 to "establish." Some have gone so far as to assert that modern printings of the King James Bible exhibiting these spelling changes are corruptions on par with changes made by modern versions. Now, I want you to notice that Brian says that difference in spelling change, exhibiting these spelling changes, going from "throughly" to "thoroughly" or "all the way" to "always." And my contention is these are not spelling changes. These are word changes. You know, they want to take "ensample" and "alway" and "establish" and "throughly" out of the King James Bible. Now, not Brian. Brian doesn't want to do that. I'm going to be fair tonight, okay? Brian does not want to do that, okay? He doesn't want to remove those. But to say that there's a difference between those words, that the difference between those words are spelling changes, that doesn't sound right to my ears. So if the very foundation of this book is built on the fact that you think that going from all...
So let me just say, I'm going to deal with all four pairs of words in separate videos, but the issue is not what sounds right to Rodney's ears. The issue is what do the facts and the evidence demonstrate and bear out? What are the translational facts? What is all the totality of the evidence bear out? That those words are wholly different words of different meaning, or that they are variants of each other that are essentially synonyms that mean the same thing. Okay. Now we're going to get into all of that later, but we're still looking here at the dichotomy here.
Always, always is a spelling change and not a word change. Then I would say someone doesn't know that every word of God is pure.
So look, observe what Rodney just did. He said, if somebody thinks that these are spelling changes and not word changes, then Houston, we have a problem. And it sounds to me like somebody doesn't know that every word of God is pure. So Rodney is clearly insinuating that I don't know that every word of God is pure, or that I don't believe that every word of God is pure. That's not true. And I do take exception to such an insinuation. Here's why. Rodney quoted from pages 1 and 2 of the King James Bible in America, okay, but he does not quote from page 3. Let me read to you from pages 3 and 4. I say, as a King James Bible believer, I have privately wrestled in recent years with how various details of the King James position have been messaged and articulated. Given that the current volume presents a new way of looking at the textual and historical data that has heretofore been enunciated, I am keenly aware that there is a strong possibility that my work will be misunderstood or mischaracterized, which I believe is happening in the video that we are dissecting here, a mischaracterization. In an effort to avoid these two misfortunes, the following points must be made clear at the outset. First, I am unequivocally a King James Bible believer. I believe the King James Bible is God's word for English-speaking people. God has inspired his word and preserved it. Right here in the book, I believe in preservation and preserved it. Throughout history, the King James Bible is a formal equivalent, literal translation of the preserved text in the English. As such, I maintain that the King James Bible and its underlying texts are inerrant in that they do not report anything about God's person, nature, character, creative acts, redemptive acts, or dispensational dealings with humanity that is false. It is my position that the King James Bible contains all the correct readings and is without error in all that it reports. So to make an insinuation here that I don't believe in preservation and that I don't believe every word of God is pure because I think that the change from throughly to thoroughly is a spelling difference and not a word difference, I'll let you decide. But to me, that's not what you want to be saying, especially in a video where you're talking about trying to be fair about things.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. See, I believe in the preservation of the Word of God. That's what I believe.
So again, the insinuation is that I somehow do not believe that. So this is the doctrinal statement of Grace Life Bible Church, the church that I pastor. And here's what Article 1 on the Bible says. It says, we believe that the entire Bible is verbally inspired of God and is a plenary authority, and that God has providentially preserved his completed word for us today. We believe that the word of God exists in its preserved form in what is commonly called the Textus Receptus, received text, and that the King James Version is the best English translation of the received text available today. We believe the King James to be without error and disapprove of all attempts to correct the text of the King James with manuscript evidence or the supposed understandings of the original languages. Okay? So, for Rodney to say, to insinuate that I don't believe in preservation is just not true.
Believe. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And how can I live by every word if I don't have every word? That's a dilemma for people like me. That's a dilemma for people who place absolute trust in their King James Bible. Okay, so again, if the very foundation of a book is predicated upon the fact that these are spelling changes, I would say, Houston, we have a problem. So I want to review some of the things that Brian said and note a few things. Probably that he did not say. I know that I'm hoping that everybody watched the video. So I was going to go a lot more detailed. I watched Brian's video 3 times and I was going to go a lot more detailed in what he said. And I thought, what am I going to do that for? They already, you know, people supposedly have watched his video and they know what's in there. So that's one of the reasons I wanted you to watch Brian's video, was so that you could see that Brian never opened a King James Bible to show you what the words meant. Now, he did show you pictures of lexicons and word searches like this, where he showed you that, you know, the same Greek word is sometimes used example and sometimes another place it's used and sample. And so
that's a textual fact. Okay? So maybe Rodney doesn't like that fact, but that is a textual fact. You cannot get around it. So, yeah, I didn't go and look up each one of these things individually and read them. I just showed the list from the search. But it's an absolute textual fact that the same Greek word that is translated ensample is also translated example. And I will say more about that when I cover those words in a video.
For him, that settles it. I mean, he said even the translators knew they meant the same thing. That's why they, you know, they just use them alternately like that, you know, kind of like at will. Well, unfortunately, that's the reasoning that comes from the new school or the higher schools of learning.
So there you have it. What I said in my video, pointing out the textual facts, is the result of what comes from the new schools of higher learning. So over and over again, Rodney is putting me into the same side of the dichotomy that he's created with James White and Dan Wallace. Now, while he does not mention me, he mentions the 4 pairs of words discussed in my book in his video from Sunday, September 27. And makes a statement that, I'll let you judge for yourself on. So let me just cue that up here. So in this clip from Sunday, September 27, Rodney is talking about Colossians chapter 1, verse 14.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me ask you something. Is the blood?
Well, apparently we have a.
Jesus
there
Christ
we go.
Important.
Sorry about that.
Without his blood, you're not forgiven. Without his death and his the blood that he shed, you're not forgiven. Okay. Nobody would dare take that out of the Bible, right? Except the New American Standard, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Same with the ESV, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption, the NIV, the forgiveness of sins. Let me ask you this. Who would take the blood of Jesus Christ out of the Word of God?
Not the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit's not going to do that. Oh, but we have 7,000 documents. We have 7,000 manuscripts. They have, I don't forget the number. I listened to James White say something yesterday. We have like 12 or 1,500. Then they started earthing all these other manuscripts. Very early in his ministry, Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. The word of God was already starting to be corrupted, even in Paul's day. Okay? And a lot of these things that they found, obviously, were forgeries. Obviously, were forgeries. And these men today, who have no discernment whatsoever, I don't even know if they're saved. I don't know if they're saved, okay? I mean, I'm not their judge, and I'm not going to judge them on that, but you need to understand that the changes that we looked at right now, these things are widespread in Christendom today. So the men who make these changes to the Word of God are the same men who say that these words all mean the same thing today. Because the dictionaries today tell us that they're archaic words. So
the same men that would change Colossians 1:14 are the same men that say that those words, those four pairs of words, mean the same thing. This is the ultimate application of the dichotomy. Rodney has just brought up James White. He's questioned James White's salvation. Then he says that anyone that would change Colossians 1:14 are the same people that would say those words mean the same thing. I believe those words mean the same thing. And so do many other people who have rejoiced to read and discover the information in the book. But let's not create a new false argument here. The issue isn't how many people believe something or not. The issue isn't how many grace pastors agree with Rodney, or how many grace pastors agree with me, or how many grace pastors agree with either side. The issue is, what do the facts and the evidence say? But in this statement right here, Rodney has applied the ultimate application of the dichotomy by throwing me and anybody that agrees with what I've said in the book into the same category with James White, whose salvation that he just questioned. So the point of this video has been to dissect a certain segment of Rodney's response to my book and to point out what the tactic that Rodney is using is. He's creating a dichotomy. He's putting me into a dichotomy with people who I absolutely do not agree with. And then he's arguing on the basis of the dichotomy that he's created or established there. So in the next video, I'm going to talk about and touch on the segment where Rodney talks about the preface to the King James Bible and the translators. So these are my thoughts. I mean, if Rodney said it himself in what we watched earlier, that I put my cards on the table with the book, and I did, and Rodney has responded, okay, and thereby put his cards on the table like he said he was doing, and so I'm now responding to it. I love Rodney. I count Rodney as a brother, but there are things that Rodney says in these two videos that are not correct about me, that are not correct about those who agree with me, and that I think could be considered somewhat inflammatory and inaccurate. Thanks for watching. I'll see you on the next video.